I've entitled the message this evening, A Good Name, and it's Proverbs 21, but I have a number of verses to introduce our subject. This is Friday Night Live, and it's Friday, October 30th, 2015. In John 14, 13, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." In John 3:18, Jesus said, John the Baptist said this, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In John 16:26, Jesus says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father." In John 20:31, it says, "But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, this is his Pentecostal sermon, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In Acts 3:6, Peter said, when he encountered the man who was lame, he said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." In Acts 3:16, Peter explaining what happened to the man, he says, "On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." In Acts 4:10, it says, "Let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health." And then Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Acts 9:15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go.'" He's talking to Ananias, who was going to go and pray and lay hands on Saul, who was blind, temporarily blinded. He says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he," Paul, "is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel." Acts 10:43, this is Paul's testimony. "Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins." In Romans 9:17, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth.'" Romans 10:9, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.'" Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In Philippians 2:5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance of his glory, that is the Father's glory. Christ is the radiance of the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. That's all introductory. You see what's emphasized there, don't you? The name, the good name, the best name, the name above every other name. Proverbs 22, you can turn there. 22:1. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor, grace, is better than silver and gold. It says favor here. It's kesed, which is grace in the Hebrew. So, what's in a name? One is known by his name. One's name is the designation of an individual according to, it can be, according to his moral or ethical character. If I name somebody's name, you right away think about their character. Whether it be kindness, generosity, reliability, consistency, honesty, a sense of humor, or maybe a lack of that, lack of a sense of humor. So what's in a name is the accomplishment of an individual that singles one out as an expert in some field. What defines an individual is the trend of life and general demeanor of one's personality, of one who is, for example, angry, aggressive, competitive, short-tempered, protective, jealous, vindictive, self-righteous or arrogant, cruel or kind, guarded or open, caring or callous, gregarious or serious. One's reputation and general perception easily detectable by physical characteristics, whether one is short or tall or has some disability, is blind, deaf, lame. They may call him Blind Bob, Deaf Dan, or Lame Lonnie. In addition, a name can have professional credentials associated with it according to expertise or education. like MD, PhD. Those who are most famous may be known by a single nickname. For example, Sting, Prince, Madonna, J-Lo, Judy. When I hear the name Judy, who do I think of? There's only one, Judy Seligman. That's it. Dan, Bob, Jim, what they call you down at the...
Jim, Dan, Ray, Bob.
Jim, Dan, Ray, Bob, that's it, yeah. Nobody knew his name. He went to a place where nobody knew his name. Not where everybody knew his name, like on Cheers. That was a long time ago. Sorry I brought it up. But, finally, one's name could be associated with a title of nobility, or that of a royal family, an official position of leadership and power, even the highest among men for a time, or for all time, like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, FDR, JFK, and the like. All of these in any combination define an individual and differentiate one from another. A good name or reputation here designates that which God considers virtuous, desirable, and enduring, outstanding, accomplished, and due respect and honor. There's one name that soars above every other name that was ever borne by a human being. And it is his name that holds the highest and best from both worlds, the present one as well as the one to come. He has a better name, a higher title, and royal warrant, an impeccable reputation above and beyond all others. So highly celebrated is his name that at its mere mention, every knee must bow. And every tongue must enthusiastically say, as God does, and fully agree with God's assessment, in order to be recognized, known, and accepted by God Almighty. It is in every way superior to that of men, being the most highly esteemed and most important. It's one of a kind, unlike any and all others, commanding the deepest respect, undivided universal attention, and eternal praise. One's name or reputation is based upon some outstanding accomplishment, oftentimes, for which he or she is known, that exceeds or excels all others. Those who speak his name and claim to know him are required to completely eschew evil and do what is truly good in order to lay claim to it. 2 Timothy 2:19, once again, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. The Lord knows those who are his. That means he knows your name, if you're his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from adikia, which is unrighteousness or wrongdoing. That talks to believers. That speaks to believers. Not unbelievers, believers. No one has ever done or ever will do what he has done to bless and benefit mankind, and is therefore the most important individual in all of human history, like you didn't know that, right? The evil and the good are all required to stand before him in the end and give an account for their lives relative to their acceptance, love, and devotion to him. The mere recognition and proper use of his name raises the dead, heals the terminally ill, causes evil spirits to depart, and changes one's identity and destiny forever. So important is his name that he is the single and central individual that both defines and divides human history. You know, BC, AD. No matter who else is in view, that person dies, and though his fame may continue, this one, Christ, is as relevant and real as when he was here and now departed, is alive and exalted far above and beyond that place that he alone occupies in history. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 2, Proverbs 22, 21, 2. Is it 22? 21. 22, 2. That's where I got confused. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is maker of them all. Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ, Yahweh in the Old Testament. Everywhere Yahweh is used, it is the Lord. It's translated the Lord, and it stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. One God, God the Father. One Lord, Jesus Christ. One Spirit. And one baptism. One God and Father of us all. One hope of our calling. Those are the seven existing unities that all believers have in common. And so, the rich and the poor have common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. Jesus Christ is the potter, and we are the clay. In Psalm 100, it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. And He did so for His own purpose and His own pleasure, according to His kind and most benevolent intention. Verse 3, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. See, Jesus Christ set the standard of all human conduct and is the judge of the living and the dead. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the rewarder of the humble who fear God. Verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards himself will be far from them. Protected by the one whose name, by whose name we are saved, preserved, rescued, and delivered. He's the protector and deliverer of his people. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. With respect to the blessed name, with that one as the role model, rewarder, restrainer, trainer, and provider, our children grow up knowing him and are unashamed to speak his name. Verse 7, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. See, the riches of wisdom and knowledge that are in Jesus Christ make you rich in faith and an heir of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him. Ephesians 3:8, to whom he withholds no good thing. Psalm 84:11. It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He wants us to be leading citizens of the kingdom. Verse 8. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. Jesus Christ is the ultimate avenger of evil and violent men. Verse 9. He who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. Jesus' name is synonymous with gracious and generous giving. He apportions his gifts of sustenance to the poor, and we do likewise in his name. Verse 10, drive out the scoffer and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. See, we don't tolerate those who scoff at him, misrepresent him in any way, and use his name in vain or profane his holy name or relegate him to a lesser status of being only human as the cults do with impunity. In John 17:5, in the great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world, and they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 11, he who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious, the king is his friend. This is telling us to be imitators of the God-man and walk around as dear children. Walk in the blessing and favor you have from him, by and because of who he is. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. In Ephesians 5:1. Sons of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26. Verse 12. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous man. His truth stands supreme, ferrets out and destroys every lie and brings to naught every threat of harm. Verse 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I will be killed in the streets. In him and in his name we are bold and courageous, fearing only God, no one and nothing else. Verse 14, the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is cursed of the Lord will fall into it. The scripture says in Psalm 2, kiss the Son, or Psalm 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way. That is, do not be seduced by a lesser love than his, and don't trade eternal pleasure at his right hand for sensual or sexual pleasure that is promised but can't be delivered. Take the loving thoughts and kind intentions, the kind words of the Lord Jesus to heart. Keep on falling in love with him over and over and over and over again, as the chorus says. Get to know him intimately and let him give you self-control to curb your appetite for forbidden pleasures that cause some to fall in a deep pit. That doesn't apply to anybody here. That's just something I had said. And if it fits, put it on, wear it, or grow up into it. 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. See, it's time that we all grow up into Christ, take our rightful place above in the heavenlies, where we're seated together with him, above principalities and powers, above the fray, and apart from the world system of Satan. We're in the world, but we're not of it. To be friends with the world is to be at enmity or opposition with God. We're to live in Christ, live for Christ, walking as Christ walked, talking as Christ talked, being as he is in the world. Those who allege that they abide in him ought also to walk around as he did when he was here, 1 John 2:6. Verse 16, he who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. This is a good one. The quickest way to poverty is to bilk, fleece, or cheat poor people, like these TV evangelists do, by telling them they will receive large sums of money if they give sacrificially. Also, now not only they will be poor, but also those who give to the rich. Those who are stupid enough to give their money to these rich charlatans, that is, their limited funds that are needed to provide for their household, likewise stay very poor. Verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your mind to my knowledge. Who's speaking here? Well, it's Solomon, but it's Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, for he is the author of all scripture and inspired the human writers of scripture to pen every word precisely as he told them. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he would instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Or Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 18, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, that they may be ready on your lips. That made me think right away of Psalm 45, where it says, my heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. He is blessed forever indeed. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it most abundantly. Verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I have taught you today, even you. It's very personal and up close. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge? Who's speaking? Solomon's writing, but Jesus Christ is speaking to each one of us. He's known among the informed believers by a nickname given him by inspiration. Because he created the heavens and the earth by speaking them into existence, predicted and brought to pass the entire prophetic calendar, including the 333 specific prophecies of his own birth, life, and death in human history, did not rely on natural provisions, and gave no thought to what he would eat or drink, even when he was deprived of food and water for 40 days in his wilderness temptation. He healed the sick with a word, raised the dead with a word, turned one boy's small lunch into a feast that fed 25,000 people one time and about 20,000 another time. By his powerful and masterful use of Scripture, along with many other examples that tell the same story, his name is the Word. The Word is his name. John loves that title for Jesus Christ. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He continues using that title in a little different way in 1 John 1:1. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. He says, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Proverbs 22:21. To make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that they might have life, and remarkable life, and overflowing life. Verse 24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. See, the anger of man never accomplishes the righteous purpose of God or the will of God in any way. Verse 26, do not be among those who give pledges, among those who become guarantors for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? What he's saying is, don't borrow money. There's a lot of practical instruction here. And you say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with his name. It all has to do with his name, who he is. Don't borrow money if you don't have the money to make payments. Wait upon the Lord. Seek him and rest in his provision. He will sustain you, even if you only have meal and oil for one cake, like Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Don't give up your bed and the place that you live in as well. Then you have nothing. See, people will sell their home. Say, I don't have any money, so I'll sell my home. Now they don't have a home. Now they're homeless. They have no money because they had to spend all their money just to survive. Do not move the ancient boundary which your fathers have set. See, the ancient boundary or stake of claim, deed, or land grant is the inheritance of the family that's passed down, and it's the life of faith in his name. It's your heritage, your children's inheritance from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up his and gained it back, became poor, that you might be made rich, in 2 Corinthians 8:9. So what do? Stand fast in his name. Verse 29. You see a man skilled in his work? He'll stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Those who believe in his name will be saved for time and eternity, but those who live by his name will be exalted for time and eternity. They will be rewarded publicly for their secret service, in which they refuse to call attention to themselves. These will be presented by the king before other kings and be exalted among them for the work of faith to which skills of righteousness were added. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Only to those who have skills will more be added. In Matthew 13:12, he who has, more shall be given. He who doesn't have, even what he thinks he has, will dissipate. The obscure and unskilled cannot appreciate what it takes, let alone celebrate the accomplishment of one who learned the skills of his master, who is the king of every other king, with a name and royal title far more excellent than all others put together, before whom they will all cast their crowns. Revelation 4:10. For they know absolutely, even perfectly, that apart from him they could do nothing. But in his name and by his grace they accomplish the task of glorifying God to a maximum degree, and therefore will be among the elite of eternity. John 15:5, Philippians 4:13, 2 Peter 3:18. Revelation 3:5. Here's what happens in the end. He who overcomes will thus be clothed with white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. Went from his name to yours. And I will confess his name. Who? Jesus Christ. He's the one speaking. Before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:8. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no man can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. You know how many deny his name today that claim to be his people? So many, too many. Those who claim to know his word deny his name. And then there's so many also that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many marvelous works in your name? And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't know your name. It's funny you know mine. I don't know yours. Funny you did it in my name when I didn't authorize you to do anything or tell you to do anything. Depart from me. Be hard to hear, wouldn't it? Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. That's the new name that Jesus Christ will have for all eternity. What is it? I don't know. Neither do you. Revelation 19:12. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, that is crowns, and he has a name written on him which no one knows except he himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:16, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know the chorus written by Bill Gaither, Jesus? There's something about that name. Know that one? We're going to sing it. Sing with me to him from your heart as you worship your great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name you're saved and by whose name you stand before God on the only firm foundation. Don't be conscious of anyone here. Focus your attention on the one whose name and royal title is above and beyond, far and away more important than anyone else, and let him fill you up with renewed joy that his holy name delivers to a needy soul. Just close your eyes, and I'll lead you in the song. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let's do it one more time. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Father, we thank you for this time together, an unusual evening, unusual message, but that's the message that you gave me. You told me to do all these things, and I did them. And Father, so I just thank you so much for your grace and your love that has been so lavishly poured out into this world and into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, may we worship in spirit and in truth the true God, our great God and Savior, Jesus, the name that is so powerful that the devil and his minions tremble at his name as they recall their fate. And Father, may we also tremble in the weakness of our flesh and knowing that we can do nothing apart from him. And that we, if we ask anything in his name, and that if we claim his name, we are to depart from iniquity, to honor him supremely above everyone and everything else. There is nothing else that is more pointed and more important than Jesus and the name that he has, the most excellent name, a name higher and better than a name and royal title, higher and better than anyone else has ever had or ever will have. And Father, that you've slated us to share in that glory and honor with him, to be the kings and priests to God. That is because, by and because of Jesus Christ, and by that name, which changed us in a moment when we recognized who he was and learned what he has done. As he died as our substitute, finished the work of redemption, fulfilled all righteousness, and put an end to the law so that we might live by grace and through faith and have an intimate relationship with the one who loved us, as Paul said, and gave himself for us, our great God and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. Father, may we pay attention to his word as though it were the only light in an otherwise pitch black place until the day dawns. And the day star, Christ himself, rises up in our hearts until we know him and have a clear vision of who he is. And live the rest of our lives the rest of our days for him. For he is worthy, worthy, worthy. We thank you for these things and just for the privilege of beholding Jesus Christ and considering his name. Jehovah saves, Jesus Christ, which is the anointed one. He was anointed as a man, but he was God in the flesh and the only Savior of mankind. The one who, if you say Jesus is God, you're saved with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that means Jesus is God. You're saved. If you don't, you're not. If you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead as a human being, as the God-man, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, you have eternal salvation. That's how simple it is. Too simple for many. Father, we pray that those who we've been thinking about and praying about, who have not come to Jesus Christ, in our own families, Father, that they would come and see him, how remarkable, how amazing, how altogether lovely he is, and be drawn to his love and receive his free gift of eternal life. We pray these things most sincerely, Father, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, in his name. And we know that you'll do whatever we ask you in his name.